Hi everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Rebecca.
So today we're discussing, we're discussing animals, but not the normal kind of interesting and unusual things we talk about animals in some of our articles. We're kind of talking about sad things about animals.
Sad, but a little bit funny sometimes too.
Yeah, right. We're not talking about how animals are sort of dying off or are going extinct, which is hugely sad. We're just kind of giving facts about animals that are sort of sad, but presented in a funny way. So I've kind of come up with, or I looked up from this book, a fact about my favourite animal. I really like rhinos. They're just big, powerful, these really cool beasts. But rhinos, they make a squeaking sound to call for their friends when they're lost.
Oh.
Which is kind of, you know, cute and adorable from this enormous, like, 2-ton beast.
Yes. So I also read this book and all the sad but funny animal facts.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite one was about dogs.
Okay.
Dogs can't see TV.
They just
see static, I think.
Uh-huh.
They pretend to like it so they can be close to people.
Okay, so anything like where the dogs are like looking at the TV or barking along with
it? They're just pretending.
Wow, I had no idea that dogs were such talented actors.
That's
incredible.
Liars too, I guess?
For good reasons, you know, if they're just doing it to be friendly and be close to people, that's okay. Well, let's look at more animal facts and sad animal facts and where all this idea comes from by reading through today's article.
Reading.
Learn and laugh with sad animal facts. Did you know that gorillas can catch colds from humans, or that zebras can't sleep alone? You can find these and other interesting yet sad truths in Brooke Barker's illustrated book, Sad Animal Facts. Animals have appealed to Barker ever since she was a child. Her grandma played a major role in encouraging her fascination with creatures by giving her an animal fact book. While she was reading the book, Barker found that facts about animals weren't always what she expected. Still, she remained interested in them. When she became a librarian, she passed the time by drawing pictures of animals and including facts about them on each sketch. The other librarians considered it interesting that she included humorous comments on her drawings. This experience inspired her to create a book. Though facts in the book are sad, the cartoons of animals discussing their problems are funny. One page says, "Jellyfish have no hearts." The illustrated jellyfish replies, "Sorry, not sorry." If you are an animal lover, you will think sad animal facts is the cat's pajamas.
Okay, so the article begins with another sad animal fact. It says, did you know that gorillas can catch colds from humans, or that zebras can't sleep alone? Okay, so gorillas can catch human diseases. I think I knew that. I think I was aware of that. Zebras can't sleep alone. That's kind of sad. I feel sorry for those poor zebras.
Well, I'm sure it's for their safety.
Yeah, maybe they just think if I'm alone, I might get eaten by a lion, but if I'm in a group, I'm okay. So we'll explain what a gorilla is. A gorilla is the largest of the great apes. They're very big, black apes, not monkeys. Don't call them monkeys. They don't have tails. They're bigger than humans. They're native to Africa. They live in groups in forested hills and mountains. You can see some at the zoo, usually quite big fellas with the silverbacks, which is how they kind of show their age. But yeah, they're the really, really big. They're the biggest of them all.
Okay. The article also says, you can find these and other interesting yet sad truths in Brooke Barker's illustrated book, Sad Animal Facts. So let's talk about the word illustrated. It's an adjective. And an illustrated book has pictures that help explain the text. So many books for young children are illustrated. The illustrated book Goodnight Moon is a popular bedtime story for children, and I read this book a lot of times as a young child.
What's it all about?
It is the story of a rabbit mother saying goodnight to her child.
Right.
And they say goodnight to all the things in the house, like there are some mittens and kittens and a picture of the cow jumping over the moon.
Okay.
So they say goodnight to all the things.
Like goodnight picture, goodnight lamp, goodnight.
All kind of things like that, yes.
Okay. And I guess that's something you read and helps you fall asleep. And there's pictures of them all. Okay, so we've got this book, Sad Animal Facts by Brooke Barker. We learn that animals have appealed to Barker ever since she was a child. So the verb appeal means to be attractive or interesting to someone or something. For example, we could say movies with too many special effects don't really appeal to me. I never like the look of them. I just think it's just going to be too many special effects, not enough acting and storyline. So in the case of Barker, she's been interested in animals, so we can say animals have appealed to her ever since she was a child.
We have the phrase ever since, and that means from a past time until now. So we might also say since then in some cases. And our example is, I fell off my bicycle once, and I have been scared to ride it ever since. And that's true
that's
in my
true,
case.
That's true, is it? Oh, okay. So we could also say, I have been scared to ride it since then.
I have been scared to ride it since then is exactly
okay, and both are
true.
Correct. Okay, well, that's, yeah, I'm not much of a bicycle rider myself. I was never very good with them, so there you go. Anyway, we'll move back to the article. So her grandma, Barker's grandma, played a major role in encouraging her fascination with creatures by giving her an animal fact book. So if you play a role in something, you take part in something or you're involved in it and you cause a particular result. So we say her grandma, she's got a big responsibility for this this love of animals because she gave her a book. We can also use the phrase play a role in when we're talking about people who are in movies, plays, and TV shows. Like someone plays a role in this movie. Here's an example to do with the taking part, the responsibility kind of meaning. Terry has played a large role in the company's recent success.
Okay. So our next word is encourage. That's a verb. And it means to give support to the development of something. So usually we use it for parents encouraging their children, teachers encouraging their students, bosses encouraging their employees, we hope. And it's to inspire and
kind of get people to do something, really.
Exactly. So our example sentence is, the teacher encourages her students to practice writing every day.
Very important. You do need to write every day if you're going to get good at it. So here, Brooke Barker's grandma encouraged her fascination with creatures and animals. A fascination is a deep or strong attraction to or interest in something. A feeling of wanting to find out a lot about a particular topic and do things involved in that topic as much as possible. For example, when I was a young kid, like many young kids, I've come to realize, I had a huge fascination with dinosaurs. I could name them all, I could describe what they looked like, I wanted toy dinosaurs, I wanted books about dinosaurs, the whole works. And I've come to realize that's not unusual for kids.
I was surprised that you put dinosaurs and not pirates.
Well, yeah, pirates did come, but they came later, I think. Dinosaurs was first.
My huge fascination as a kid was with cartoon TV shows.
Okay. Yeah, they were good in that time. They were really good.
All right. So the article says, while she was reading the book, Barker found that facts about animals weren't always what she expected.
Yeah, you can learn some surprising stuff, but still, she remained interested in them. So this kind of experience in her childhood kind of stayed with her, and it always kept her interested in animals and facts about animals. So she never lost it.
And also, like in many things in life, maybe something is not what you expect, but it doesn't mean you don't like it anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's bad. It often means you get more interest because you're like, I never knew that. I will find out more.
You learn more things about it. So the article says, when she became a librarian, she passed the time by drawing pictures of animals and including facts about them on each sketch. So a librarian is a noun. A librarian helps people find information in books and other resources in a library. My mother has worked as a librarian for a pretty long time. Cool. She works in a public library and tells me stories every day of the patrons who come to ask questions. And
I'm glad there are still people who come into libraries. That sort of makes me feel better about the world.
Well, it is something that people's taxes pay for and a public service, so they do like to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our example sentence is, Justin asked the librarian to help him find books about giraffes.
Okay, now when she was a librarian, Barker she drew pictures and included facts about the animals she drew on each sketch. Now, the word sketch is a noun, and it's a rough, quickly made drawing, often without too many fine details. So you're not trying to make a really accurate picture with everything. You're just doing a very quick drawing. We can also use the word sketch as a verb, meaning to create this kind of quick, rough drawing. Here's an example. The artist made a quick sketch of the landscape, planning to make a more detailed painting of it later. So just quickly drew in, okay, the trees are there, the hill's there. This is kind of what it looks like, and then I'll go back later and I'll use this sketch to help me create the picture.
I think as an artist, a sketch is very helpful to organize your idea and your thoughts before you
kind of really get to
work on the nice paper and use the nice kind of materials and paints.
Sure.
Okay. The article says the other librarians considered it interesting that she included humorous comments on her drawings. So our next word is humorous. It's an adjective and it means funny or amusing. This comes from the noun humor.
Hmm.
And our example sentence is, my friends always tell each other humorous stories when we see each other.
Yeah, laughing, joking, kind of telling things that make each other laugh. Okay, so in this case, we're describing comments. Humorous as an adjective describes the noun comment. So she didn't just draw these pictures. She left funny notes, funny comments. A comment is a remark about something. It could be either written or spoken. And it's often to say what you think of that thing or to express other thoughts or ideas about it. Now, we see comments a lot these days when people use Facebook. Of course, if someone posts a picture, posts a video, just post something, you can leave a comment. So that's kind of basically what Brooke Barker was doing with her animals. She was leaving comments on them, and those comments were humorous. Here's another example of comment. There were many comments on the vacation photos Ali posted on Facebook.
Okay. So many of the comments on the illustrations in this book are animals saying something funny about their sad fact.
Yeah, they're sort of talking about a sad thing about their lives, but in a sort of amusing way.
All right. So the article says this experience inspired her to create a book. And inspire is a verb. It means to influence someone, usually by giving that person an idea, to give them inspiration.
Yeah, that's the noun form.
So our example sentence is, going to the art museum inspired Tony to paint some pictures. Speaking of sketches.
Yeah, we're talking about pictures, sketches. I got inspired in an art museum once, but it wasn't to do pictures. It was actually to write a short story. This was in Trafalgar Square, the British kind of portrait gallery in London. And I saw some pictures and I just got hit by some inspiration. I was inspired and I ran to the gift shop, bought a notepad and a pen, went back to where I'd seen whatever picture had inspired me and just started writing. So, yeah, it can happen. It does work.
That's great.
Yeah.
And anything can be an inspiration, a picture, a story.
Yeah.
Something you hear on the bus.
Yeah, see on a wall somewhere. Yeah, I've got interesting theories about inspiration, but that's for another time. Right now, we're talking about the pictures in Brooke's book that she was inspired to create. And we learn that though facts in the book are sad, so they're kind of these sad facts about animals, the cartoons of animals discussing their problems are funny. So they're kind of making light of these problems. They're not really serious problems. They're saying them in a funny way.
Okay, so the article says, one page says, jellyfish have no hearts. So a jellyfish is a noun. It is a kind of free-swimming sea creature that has a clear, soft body, and some of them can sting other animals.
Yep.
So if you are swimming with jellyfish, you need to be careful.
Yeah,
or if you see them just on the beach.
Don't poke them with a stick.
Don't poke them with a stick. Don't step on them.
Yeah, some of them can kill. So, yeah, you have to be super careful.
Or at least can be very painful if they sting you.
Mm.
So our example sentence is, the ocean is home to jellyfish, sharks, whales, and many other sea animals.
Okay, so we learned jellyfish have no hearts. Now, what this means in terms of their bodies is they don't have this pump in the middle of them that sends blood around them like humans do. But the joke here is that they're heartless, they're cruel, they don't care about anyone. So we see, as the article says, the illustrated jellyfish replies to this comment, jellyfish have no hearts, by saying, sorry, not sorry. Now, sorry, not sorry, this is a phrase kind of come up in the modern world, often through technology and through TV shows and stuff. It's short for, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. And it's used to mean you are apologizing for something out of politeness, but you're also making it clear you don't really mean the apology. You don't really care if your behavior or words upset anyone. Now, it sounds bad, but we generally use it when we're joking around with friends. We kind of say, somebody else tells a story and you would say, oh, sorry, not sorry, to kind of show that you're kind of having a bit of a laugh at them.
Or the other extreme is people use it when they're not trying to be polite at all.
Yeah, when they're just being mean.
Okay. I remember also another cartoon in which there was a worm, and the caption says, a worm has five hearts.
Right.
And the worm has a speech bubble that says, and no one to love.
Oh.
Speaking of hearts.
Yep.
So, okay. The article says, if you are an animal lover, you will think sad animal facts is the cat's pajamas. So the phrase, the cat's pajamas, is today's shortcut for you. So let's listen to this dialogue in which two of our friends explain what it means and how we can use it. We've reached the end of our article. So when we return from that, we'll be discussing today's For You chat question.
Shortcut for You.
This clothing shop is amazing!
Wow, you have chosen so many items.
Well, I just saw this top, and I just knew that I needed it.
What about that other top you have? And those pants, and that dress, and that...
Listen, these styles are the cat's pajamas. You think I'm just going to get one thing?
Now you're trying to buy pajamas for your cat? Listen, I think you have a problem.
What? I don't mean actual pet pajamas. If something is the cat's pajamas, that means it's really wonderful.
Oh, I see. So if something is the cat's pajamas, that means it's 非常好,十分卓越.
Yeah, so it's obvious why I had to get all these things.
Right. Anyways, it's a lucky day for the owners of this shop. They're going to think your spending habits are the cat's pajamas.
For You Chat.
So, Pat, if you could write and draw a sad animal fact, which animal would you pick and why?
Let me see. I mentioned at the start my favorite animals are rhinos, and I would... They're hard to draw, so maybe by drawing them, I'd get better at drawing them. They just look like horses with sharp faces. But another reason why I would stick with a rhino is because they are very endangered. And so the more people know about rhinos, the more people will make efforts to try and save them. So I would draw sad animal facts about animals that are in trouble, whether it's pandas, tigers, gorillas, other animals that are in danger, because that will make... The way this thing works is that people read the fact and they go, oh, that's kind of cute, that's sweet, I like that animal. And then they can kind of learn more about it, and maybe that will help save these animals. So I would make a book of endangered sad animal facts.
Endangered sad animal facts.
With
That's
the saddest
a good idea.
Fact of all being that they're all, unfortunately, endangered. Okay. How about you?
Well, I don't think I saw this one in the book, but I just learned that groundhogs, which I don't believe are endangered.
I don't know, not that I'm aware.
They have to be very careful about when they have baby groundhogs, because if it's too early, then the babies will not gain enough weight for their winter.
Okay.
And if it's too late, I got that wrong.
Okay. But so they just have to have them at the right time.
They have to have them. If it's too early, the mother can't feed them enough food
to survive.
And if it's too late, they have time to eat enough food before winter.
Okay. So they've got this tiny little baby having window.
Yes.
That they've got to use.
It's only a few weeks.
Oh, wow. So it'll be
for that year.
Yeah, super careful then. That is kind of sad. They can only have babies at certain times of the year, which means all these groundhogs have their birthdays at the same time.
Exactly.
And they all have to, like, it's not special for them. It's like, oh, it's my birthday, but it's 15 other groundhogs' birthdays.
Well, it might not matter because they're very solitary creatures that really are alone except for mating time. So
they
can have a party for themselves.
Oh, that's even sadder. They don't have birthday parties. That is a sad animal fact. Okay, well, that is the end of our article. Thank you for listening, everyone, for English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Rebecca.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Learn and laugh with sad animal facts. Did you know that gorillas can catch colds from humans, or that zebras can't sleep alone? You can find these and other interesting yet sad truths in Brooke Barker's illustrated book, Sad Animal Facts. Animals have appealed to Barker ever since she was a child. Her grandma played a major role in encouraging her fascination with creatures by giving her an animal fact book. While she was reading the book, Barker found that facts about animals weren't always what she expected. Still, she remained interested in them. When she became a librarian, she passed the time by drawing pictures of animals and including facts about them on each sketch. The other librarians considered it interesting that she included humorous comments on her drawings. This experience inspired her to create a book. Though facts in the book are sad, the cartoons of animals discussing their problems are funny. One page says, "Jellyfish have no hearts." The illustrated jellyfish replies, "Sorry, not sorry." If you are an animal lover, you will think sad animal facts is the cat's pajamas.
Vocabulary review.
Appeal. Companies must do research to make sure that their advertising appeals to their target customers. Encourage. The coach always takes time to give a speech before a game to encourage the players. Librarian. The librarian told me to go to the 8th floor of the library to find books about history. Humorous. More than a million people have watched the humorous video of the dancing cat. Comment. We have received a lot of positive comments since you started working in the sales department. Inspire. The new recipe book inspired Nancy to try some delicious new dishes for dinners and desserts.